Well, good morning and welcome to St Luke's. Today we celebrate the day of Pentecost. Would you please stand as you're able as we sing together our opening hymn, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Christ is risen, alleluia.
He is risen indeed, alleluia.
Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, says the Lord, and let the one who believes in me drink, for out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water. Let us pray. Almighty God, at the Feast of Pentecost, you sent your Holy Spirit to the disciples, filling them with joy and boldness to preach the gospel. Empower us with that same spirit to witness to your redeeming love and draw all people to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. If the children want to come forward and... Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We thank you that the Spirit comes to us all, and we ask you to teach and encourage us through your word and through the Spirit, that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, okay. It was going to happen. Yeah. So we have our first reading from the book of Acts.
A reading from the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, They were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native tongue of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs? In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." For the word of the Lord.
Please stand as you're able as we sing our next hymn, "Spirits of God, Unseen as the Wind."
Thank you.
from the Gospel of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." For the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Over a number of weeks that we celebrated the Sundays of Easter, we've had readings from the Gospel of John, and we heard Jesus' farewell message to his disciples before Easter. And a key part of that message was that although he was leaving them, they would not be left alone, but he would send another paraclete, which is the Greek word, another helper, to continue his work through them. Then last week, we read the account of the Ascension, Jesus' parting words, "See, I'm sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." So now, eventually, we are celebrating the day of Pentecost, when these promises came to fruition. The Spirit came. We quite rightly read the account from Acts chapter 2 that Lynn just read for us. And what an amazing day that seemed to have been. Often we call this day the birthday of the church. What do you get with birthdays? You get presents. And the present is the gift of the Spirit. The second reading set for today is from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. We didn't read it today in our service, but I'm going to read part of that to you, where Paul speaks about the Spirit and what she brings to the church. Paul writes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, 'Let Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses." So when we think of the gift of the Spirit on Pentecost, that's an appropriate thing to think about. We often are reminded of this list that Paul gives us of things that the Spirit enables us to do. Or maybe we remember the list that Paul gives in his letter to the Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But it's interesting to note, after all, with all of those, what the first gift of the Spirit that Paul notes in his letter to the Corinthians. He says, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." In other words, even knowing that there is a God is a gift of the Spirit. It is not something that we can work out by ourselves. So when Paul says in the well-known verse in his letter to the Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God," is a reminder that, again, it is all from God. We can't argue the existence of God. We need the Spirit to enable us to say, "Jesus is Lord." But reading on, there is an important point here. There is both the gift of the Spirit, the presence of God with us, and then there are the gifts that the Spirit brings. Paul, in our passage from 1 Corinthians, goes on to list these other gifts to the church. They are, he celebrates, different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, it is the same God at work. And he concludes, all these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. So just as everyone has the gift of the Spirit's presence, everyone has received a gift from the Spirit. And these gifts are not for us as individuals only. Verse 7 in the Good News translation puts it very clearly. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. So the gift of, and indeed the gifts from the Spirit, is not just a birthday gift for the church. This is the whole reason why the church can and does exist. So let's return to that reading we had from Acts chapter 2. The disciples waiting in the upper room certainly received both the presence of the Spirit, but also were enabled through the Spirit to speak and to preach. And if you carry on reading from the book of Acts, to teach, to prophesy, to heal. Here in Acts, the presence of the Spirit is depicted as tongues of fire, and that's a very good biblical scriptural image. And we have a few tongues of fire around our church today. The Old Testament has many examples. Think of a burning bush where God spoke to Moses, the pillar of fire that led the Israelites through the desert. And then John the Baptist, at the very beginning of the Gospel, says that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So as Luke records in Acts chapter 2, that there were flames of fire, we're clearly being told this is God at work. The Spirit had come. And with the Spirit came the gifts. I don't know what the disciples were thinking the gift they were going to get, the first gift they would get would be. Maybe they thought that, they said to Jesus was, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? So perhaps they were thinking of power to overthrow the Romans and to actually bring about the kingdom on earth in that way. But no, that isn't what happened. In fact, the first gift of the Spirit that is manifest in them is the gift of speaking in other languages. If you think about it, it's a profound statement of how the church was to spread to Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, as Acts 1 and verse 8 says. It was one that was going to be spoken to the languages of the people that they went. It was not one of imposing something on them, but of coming alongside them, of understanding them and sharing in their own way. I commented in the notice paper this week that, in fact, Peter could just have spoken Greek to these on that day. In the ancient Mediterranean world of that time, you could count on the fact that almost everyone would speak Greek, if not as a first language, then certainly as a second or third language. You have the same sort of power as maybe English does in the world today. You could travel the world safely knowing that you'd be able to find someone with enough Greek in there to enable you to rent a camel, or find a bathroom, or buy a meal that approximated your own taste and preference. Most of the people who were in Jerusalem on that day of Pentecost would have been from the Jewish diaspora. They were coming to the temple to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, the beginning of the barley harvest. So they would all have understood Greek, at least a little. So why didn't Peter just speak in Greek? I think it's akin to the stereotypical image of the Englishman abroad who thinks that one only has to speak very slowly in English and any foreigner will understand. But to really understand something, you need to hear it in your own language. It needs to be grounded in your own culture. In Jerusalem, we find Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In their own language, hearing the disciples speaking about God's deeds of power. And this leads us to a challenge. I quipped in the notice paper that we need to learn how to speak of the Spirit in Australian. But what does that mean for us here at St. Luke's? What that means potentially is to explore how we share the gospel to the families that will bring their children to Little Angels. How we speak to those who come and use our hall, the community groups that come, people who came to the art show last week. What is their language? What is their culture? And it won't necessarily be the same way that we came to know God. But, and this is a very important but, we're reminded that it is the same Spirit that does all of this. The one God whom we know, and the one Jesus whom the Spirit enables us to declare is Lord. Amen. Please stand as you're able and join with me as we proclaim our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So let us pray now for the world and for the Church.
The response to the prayers this morning is, Holy Spirit, move within us, and you will say, hear our prayer. God of gifts, we thank you for this beautiful world and the many cultures within it, particularly within our own country with the world's oldest living culture. We pray for those exposed to disease, and we give thanks for the tireless work of the World Health Organization, the scientists and the doctors who transcend language barriers and work across multiple countries to develop life-saving vaccines. Holy Spirit, move within us and hear our prayer. God of faithfulness, we pray for our church, for the leaders across the Anglican Communion. May we lead with courage and humility, knowing that your word comes through unexpected voices and unexpected places. Today we pray for the Episcopal Church in the Philippines, the Diocese of the Murray, the Parish of Gympie, Anglicare Southern Queensland out-of-home care, and the Anglican Schools Australia Management Committee and member schools, and our missionary partners, David and Zoe Brown. Holy Spirit, move within us, hear our prayer. God of community, we pray for our local communities that we serve within, for newly arrived migrants seeking a welcoming home. We give thanks for the kindness and generosity of strangers to extend a helping hand. And we pray for families new to our local schools, Marshall Road, Salisbury Primary and Yeronga Primary, and for the teachers and staff at those schools. Holy Spirit, move within us, hear our prayer. God of healing, we pray for people who are sick, frail, or emotionally stressed, and for those whose dreams seem far from reality. May your healing spirit bring comfort and wholeness and the prospect of life anew. From our parish prayer list, we pray for Ryan, Sharon, Reverend Shane, David, Sharon, Peter, Lauren, Rita, Don, Margaret, Peter, Maxine and Robin, Glenn and Rose, Mon, Ian, Rex, and this morning particularly for Honna and Philip's son Scott, who's had a very unpleasant injury. Holy Spirit, move within us and hear our prayer. God of eternal life, we give thanks for the lives of your faithful disciples of every age who are inspired by and spoke your word. In our parish, we remember Joseph Bell, Diane Elizabeth Bitts, Charles Morley Rye, Matthew John Austin McGuigan Lewis, Tegan Marjorie McGuigan Lewis, Leonard Neville Trace, Kerry Joseph Brimham, Judith Ann Foreman, Edna Pearl Carger, Dorothy Olive Houston, and Raymond Cecil Dodd. May we live openly with our presence and gifts and live our lives to your glory and mission on earth. Holy Spirit, move within us and hear our prayer.
Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Spirit of truth comes to convict of sin, of righteousness and of judgment. Let us then open our hearts and confess our sins in penitence and faith. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us, strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins, strengthen in all goodness and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand? We are the body of Christ.
His Spirit is with us.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace be with you. And five people at home on Zoom. Peace be with you. As we remain standing, we sing our next hymn, "Oh, let the Son of God enfold you."
Spirit, and those who are
Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. For your goodness we have these gifts to share. Accept and use our offerings for your glory and for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be God forever. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Loving God, we thank you for this world of wonder and delight. You've given it to us to care for, so all your creatures may enjoy its bounty. Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that when we turned away from you, you sent Jesus to live and work as one of us and bring us back to you. He showed us how to love you and set us free to love and serve one another. Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that on the cross, Jesus took away our sin, all that keeps us from each other and from you. He frees us from hate and fear, from all that destroys love and trust. Lord our God,
we give you thanks and praise.
We thank you that in fulfillment of your promise, you promise your faith, you pour forth your Spirit upon us, filling us with gifts and leading us into all to truth, serving our Lord and God. Lord our God,
we give you thanks and praise.
And so with everyone who believes in you, with all the saints and angels, we rejoice and praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And now we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine. May we who receive them, as Jesus said, share his body and his blood. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He shared the cup with them and said, This is my blood poured out so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in remembrance of me. You've gathered us together to feed on Christ and remember all he has done for us. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Fill us with your Spirit that we may follow Jesus in all we do and say, working for justice and bringing your peace to this world that you have made. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessing and honour and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. As this broken bread was once many grains, which have been gathered together and made one bread, so may your church be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Let us pray. Giver of life and love, we thank you that in this heavenly banquet you invigorate and renew us. Living in the unity of the Spirit, may we boldly use your gifts to continue your work in the world. Most loving God, you send us into the world you love. Give us grace to go thankfully and with courage in the power of the Spirit. Well, our missional hymn is a great hymn by William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. And they were very keen on the Spirit and very keen on fire and the work of the Spirit in the areas where they found themselves. William Booth went to the areas of England where nobody else in the church wanted to go. He said he worked into their language, learned the language of the people he came in. And the Salvation Army continues to do that, the Salvos, as we know them now, in working with the people where they are. So please stand as we sing our missional hymn, O God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire today. Spirit, lead you in all truth, giving you grace to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and to proclaim the wonderful works of God. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God.